Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, neuroscientist and author of Proof of Spiritual Phenomena, Dr. Mona Savani.
Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, vocal improvisationalist Aaron Pillman. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Proof of spiritual phenomenon. I think I have been looking for that proof for a very long time. I think of when I entered this space way back when, and so much of what we're going to talk about today was new to me. And not that I understand it all now, on the contrary, I realize there's so much more to learn in this space than I probably, or any of us actually, will ever learn in this lifetime, I would imagine, because it probably goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm glad we're going to at least be able to scratch the surface with our guest today. And I'm excited that she's here with us and that she's sharing in the way that she's sharing, because I was looking for some of these answers, and I came from engineering. She comes from neuroscience. So her answers are very interesting to me. And I think back on how some of the things that seem woo-woo or seemed woo-woo or unexplainable or magic at the time now make more sense, and I've been able to see some things work. And I'm thinking about things like, for example, my mother, who was born decades ago, at a time where pictures were rarely taken, so she doesn't have baby pictures, but she has a picture of her when she was a little girl or a young lady. My niece took that old picture and made it move and showed it to my mom, and there was an app or something, and my mom looked at it and she's like, "Wow, that's me. How did you do that? There weren't movies taken of her back then." And that looked like magic. And if my mom had known that that was available at the time, she wouldn't have believed it. That's not possible. With my new phone, I could look at something on my phone and throw it up on the computer or on a big screen somewhere, and that's magic. A few years ago, that would have been magic. Or I can pull up, if I had one on my watch, a video of somebody doing something. It's magic. It's scary to, it could have been scary at one point, and not understandable. Of course, most of us don't know how it works, but it's happening, and we're believing it, we're using it. So what if there are things out there that we don't currently believe in, we don't currently know how to use, but if we believed in it, we could use it, and maybe we could learn from it? And I believe that's so much of what our guest is inviting us into as she went through her process to come to this understanding and belief and help us all in this process. So I can't wait to get into the conversation with Dr. Mona Savani. And then later on, a great music with Aaron Pillman, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate, but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at LifeChangesShow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, online with our executive producer and co-host, Mark LeJure.
Boy, I was thinking about how powerful and important this conversation is tonight. And I know we referred back to this quote a few times, but it came to mind again, was that idea that we are a camera in our early years, up to 7 or 8, and then we are a projector from there on. And that it's those initial observations, early lines of code that ultimately need to be aware, you need to be aware of and or remap as you learn and grow and want to not repeat same patterns. And so it's really excited for tonight's conversation.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for adding that, actually. We have titled this episode our 702nd episode, A Neuroscientist's Discovery, The Mysteries of the Universe. And that's inspired by our guest's book that we're going to be talking about in just a moment. She is a cognitive neuroscientist, a researcher, and author with over 15 years of experience. We're happy to have her on the show with us. Welcome, Dr. Mona Sabani, to the Life Changes Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
It's a pleasure. And, you know, I was thinking you bring so much to the conversation. And then I discovered this little tidbit somewhere where it says that over the years, these kinds of things have professionally captured your interests: human behavior, neuroscience, mental health, psychopathic traits, emotional regulation, mindfulness, spirituality, consciousness, technology, privacy. Oh, the list goes on. How do you wrap all that up? And like, what is all of that to you? Life? Your life?
Yeah, I think more broadly, I've always been interested in human behavior. And that's how I got, you know, into neuroscience. But while I was studying neuroscience in graduate school, I was becoming more interested in, you know, more practical applications of what we're studying, not just the academic stuff. So I got interested in how neuroscience and science generally intersects with society in different ways. And that's what all those different forms took. So how, you know, findings in neuroscience can be translated into the legal system. I did that in my postdoc. And then how science, when it collides with technology, what it can tell us about health and human performance. So I did that for a while. And then, of course, all the stuff with technology brings up issues of privacy and prediction and things like that. And then mental health is maybe obvious, but it's just one of the things associated with our brains and behavior. So, broadly, it's just how science and neuroscience tie together with the rest of society.
Well, the more I'm getting to know about you and your work, the more I'm liking the way you think. And I heard the word collide in there, and my mind went to where science collided with spirituality, and until you've come to help find a bridge.
Yeah, I never thought that would happen for me, I have to say.
Yes, you've had a journey to here. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Yes, I say it in the book, I was the least likely person to tell this story because I was very anti-religion and anti-spirituality for basically my whole life. And I think that science kind of supports that view as you go through it. Like as I started this spiritual journey, I realized looking back that I had no idea what any of my scientist colleagues believed in. Like we'd literally never, like in over the decade that I've known them as good friends, I'd never talked about it. So it's very much out of our purview and out of, you know, at least in the circles I run in, I don't want to speak for everyone, outside of normal everyday conversation. And, you know, in our, especially in neuroscience, they train you as soon as you come in, all meaning is created in your brain, from your brain. It's a coincidence detector. Yeah, it looks for coincidences. That's why you find them. And then your brain creates meaning, and then it creates a narrative or story. And so there's a lot of us are familiar with cognitive or psychological biases that we, you know, in like unintentionally acquire as we're growing up. And so first thing you learn in neuroscience is your brain cannot be trusted. Your perceptions cannot always be trusted. Wow. Your, you know, instincts cannot always be trusted. And so we come out of it, the training, with just a very careful, skeptical view of subjective experience.
And life. And our very existence.
Yes. And then, yeah, science more broad. So that's the neuroscience part. And then science more broadly, the scientific paradigm believes the universe is, you know, random, dead, meaningless. Again, all meaning comes from us, not from, you know, there's nothing externally meaningful.
Well, that explains a lot.
About how scientists view things.
Yes, absolutely. So now you've been, okay, you were against spirituality and religion, then you go into science, and furthermore to that, you're like, okay, this is the way it is. And, yeah. and then what, how do you,
yeah,
what happened to you?
Yeah, what happened to me? That's a good question. Still trying to figure it out. and I had an existential crisis, basically. And I just wasn't really, you know, it's that thing where you wake up every day and you're like, well, what is the point of all of this? You
know, I would say so.
It's a little, you know, I don't know, tedious, boring. And then I had this unexplained thing happen. So I'm Persian, and in our culture, we have a tradition, as many cultures do around the world, of divination, or having a skilled reader look at something, whether it's tarot cards, or in my case, it was coffee readings. So it's something similar to tea leaves, which I hate saying because that's used as always derogatory, but we have this kind of thicker coffee. You have it in a cup, you leave the grinds in the cup, you flip it dries, and it creates pictures. And if you're lucky enough to have a good reader, someone who can read the images, they can intuit things about your life. So my grandmother was very good at this, apparently. I never got a reading from her. And my mom learned it from her. It was always going on in the background of our family parties, and I never paid attention. But my mom started reading for me just as a bonding thing while I was in graduate school. And I just noticed, you know, over time, that the things that she said would come true. And I wasn't expecting them to. I wasn't even paying attention. But she would say things to the, and, you know, months in advance, and then something would happen that I wasn't expecting that she had said. And so I started taking copious notes. And over time, I just came to realize, you know, she's more right than she's wrong. And I don't know how it works. I can't explain it. You know, if someone asked me to fit it into my scientific model, I wouldn't have been able to. So I just lived in this cognitive dissonance where I had these readings and I knew that they worked, but I, you know, I never talked about it with anyone, and I never could reconcile it with my science. And then she predicted an event that really shook me in 2016. She kept seeing something. She was like, oh, I think you're going to get really bad news, which she never usually would, you know, say something like that. In all the years I've had readings, I never had her kind of seriously, sternly say, oh, I think you're going to get bad news. Like, and this went on for weeks. And then I did get bad news. It was one of our professors was killed by one of the students, and it was someone who I had worked with on one of my dissertation experiments. And so obviously that was upsetting already, but the fact that she had foreseen it for weeks in advance really shook me. And then really, you know, like before, I think I was able to ignore it and keep it unreconciled. But after that, I was a little bit like, what is the universe? Oh, does time really not work the way we think it does? I mean, how is this possible, you know, that she could see that? And then 2 years later, it was another event she saw, but the outcome was different than what she had said, although every other thing that she had said was like down to the detail correct. But since I was already kind of in a not great place existentially. When this last event happened, it was kind of like the last straw, or I think of it like the last leg on a stool was knocked out. And yeah, so it was a dark, it was my dark night of the soul. Like I lost all hope. I had no optimism. I felt despair for the first time and really woke up every morning, like really, truly now, what is the point of all of this? Like, why are we here? What is, and my, you know, worldview answer was there is no point. It's up to you to derive meaning from life's events. There's no ultimate meaning. And so that obviously did not help me feel worse. Right. It's like, that's not helpful in any way, shape, or form. And so what happened was that my friends, and this is just like a funny part of the story. My friends were like, well, let's, one of my friends had gone through something similar. So she had gone through this period in her life where she went to a bunch of psychics to get answers during this tumultuous time. So she's like, I know this really good intuitive. I'll take you. I promise you she'll be good. So we went to her, and I really didn't believe in intuitives or psychics, you know, but even though my mom would read for me, I saw it as different. But this woman blew my socks off, and then my friends and I just made this experiment. We just for fun would go to different intuitives and over like a year and switch readings to see, is there something here? Do they give, you know, I think the general idea is that psychics and intuitives are frauds, or they say general vague things that could apply to anyone, which is sometimes true for sure. But the people that we saw were gave very specific detailed readings that were correct on multiple variables for each of us. So, you know, I was like applying my statistics half-heartedly to this fun experiment. And in those readings, they started saying things like, oh, this was a karmic thing. This is a past life thing. And I, first of all, had never even heard of those. I mean, I vaguely knew about karma and reincarnation, very vaguely
from pop culture. Because it's not science, so you wouldn't have studied it, of course.
No, yeah, I was very unfamiliar, and I didn't believe in it, so I just ignored it. But they said it, I heard it, and then it just kept coming into my awareness. So at some point, I was like, well, if the things they're saying are true, like if they can intuit things about people, and at this point I had suspended disbelief, right? Because I was just in such a dark place. I didn't even care anymore. I was like, I don't know. These people seem to know things about my life that there's no way they could actually know. Does that mean the rest of what they're saying is true? Could it be true? Mm. And so I just went with that as a curious question. And I didn't think that anybody had studied it, because I didn't think you could study spiritual anything. You know, I was kind of agnostic, like there's no way we could prove it one way or another. So surely no one's looked at this. But that's where the journey began. So I started digging into it.
It seems like you came from a place from almost knowing all the answers, like maybe science is saying we have the answers, we are the answers, to a place of you don't know the answer. You almost don't even know the question.
Right. Yeah, it did feel that way. That was my identity, a very smart, serious scientist who, you know, I thought I understood the way the world works, and I thought my worldview was correct. And I think our Western society supports that notion by putting science on such a pedestal, right? Like we look to the experts, we look to the scientists for answers, we look for evidence-based, data-driven things. And those things are great. Obviously, they've served us very well. But, you know, for me, they serve you well for certain things like technological advancement and biomedical advancement. Mm. But I think when it comes to the meaning of life or getting through it, I don't think they're very helpful. Mm.
I want to remind everybody that we're speaking with Dr. Mona Sabani, whose doctorate is in cognitive neuroscience. So it's different coming from you. I'm not taking away from anybody else who maybe has an inclination to understand these things better potentially than you and I put together. However, you come from where you come from, you studied what you studied and were indoctrinated, so to speak, and then you still are here talking like this, putting out a book, Proof of Spiritual Phenomenon, a neuroscientist's discovery of the ineffable mysteries of the universe. So go on.
Yeah, and I think it's funny because, as the book's title suggests, I was looking for proof, right? I couldn't believe in something on faith. That was just not who I am and how I was trained. So I thought, okay, let me go, you know, look to see if there has been any research or evidence documented or anything that I could find. And that's what the first part of the book is about, is me on this journey. I interviewed intuitives to, you know, understand their experience. I interviewed scientists to understand what they believe and what they think about spirituality and, you know, anomalous phenomena or unexplained phenomena. And I went, look, you know, reading the literature about past life regression, reincarnation. And, you know, I was surprised to find that there was a literature at all. And so I did read all that, but it is a little bit like, in the end, I was looking for scientific proof because that's all I knew. And then by the end of the journey, I realized that there's more than that. And it's kind of what I was just saying is, scientific evidence is good for certain things. You know, there's certain things that are amenable to the to being measured by the scientific method, and there are other things that are not. And that's why we see this, I mean, distinction in colleges. There's the humanities and then there's, you know, the sciences. But and when you're upset, nobody goes to the science section of a bookstore, right? Nobody. Like, who goes to there for comfort? Like, you're going to go pick up literature or spirituality or art or something else. And it's like we've forgotten that there's a whole other aspect of humanity that's just as important as, you know, the rational scientific side. And so I found that along the way, although I must say it was not sounds easy right now, but my ego was kicking and screaming the entire way.
No, it doesn't sound easy to me at all. And having been part of a process, not as extensive as yours, to be sure, but no, it's not. And that's part of what I trust your book is about, and definitely our show is about, is to help us all as we go through these processes so they can be easier. And even I, connecting with you today, I said to you earlier, I'm not alone. And we had a good chuckle over that, because how many of us have felt that way, whatever field we're coming from or whatever culture or religion. And it seems like some of this has been hidden from us or just hasn't been taught. And now, of course, I know for sure you're not saying everybody out there that talks about this stuff knows what they're talking about, because there's so much to know, and not all of it might resonate with us, and not all of it might be true. And there may be some people out there that are doing it just to make money, but don't really have the gifts that you're talking about. Some of this stuff, though, is really, really interesting. I have to say, what could you tell us what I don't think I know this, the Gansfield test about the 12 billion to one chances or odds?
Yeah. So the initial thing that got me on this path was this divination or psychic phenomena, or what, as it's called in the actual scientific literature, it's called psi phenomena or psi research, PSI. Mm-hmm. And I did not think there had been any studies done on this, but when I went on my journey and spoke to people, they pointed me to this enormous actual scientific literature, like done in labs, done in shielded rooms, done with, you know, hundreds of thousands of participants in multiple labs across the world for over 100 years.
Oh, really?
So much work had been done. Yeah. That there were reviews and meta-analyses, which in science, those are when there's a lot of research done on a topic, we pull all the evidence together to look at it, to be like, okay, you know, there's been all this work done. What does the combined evidence say? That's called a review or a meta-analysis. So there had been so much work done that there had been multiple meta-analyses and then multiple reviews. So I read those and I was just blown away by the amount of work. And as you, so let me describe one of the experiments to give an idea. the Ganzfeld. So the idea is that we are connected in some way we can't measure with the electromagnetic spectrum. So they separate, just to make sure of that, they'll take two people, separate them, like they'll be in two different rooms that are electromagnetically shielded. The idea is that one person can send thoughts to the other person. And so they'll pick like one of 20 targets, and targets are like pictures. So it'll be one of 20 pictures, like a beach or scene or a mountain or a lamp or whatever. So they'll pick one, they'll give it to one person, and then they'll sit in the room and they'll say, they'll indicate to them with a marker, like, okay, now you send thoughts to the other person. Okay, stop, send it now, stop. And the other person is supposed to, after the trial, they're supposed to choose from the 20 pictures, like, which one do you think, like when you closed your eyes, what did you feel? What were the impressions that you got? Choose the target that you think is the one being sent to you. And in these really great odds against chance, people choose the correct target. Mm. And so there's so many of these experiments that, and it's like either psi phenomena is real, or we need to completely rework our statistics. And if we do need to rework our statistics, then a lot of our other science is probably going to be thrown out too. So it's this really interesting dilemma. So when I read that, and this was published in a scientific journal, I didn't do any of this research myself. You know, I'm just going to journals and reading them, and that's what I put in the book. And so, you know, I just invite other scientists to look at it too, because it just brings a lot of things into question about our scientific method, our experimental setups, and just, you know, from a human perspective, just the idea that we're more connected than we think, you know. And I think that lab experiments are one thing, but even if you knock those out, like let's say somebody's like, okay, we found this new statistical method, these are all wrong. I mean, there's still the human experience, right? There's all these anecdotal studies, case studies that are filled with, you know, in humanity's history that people experience every single day of being more connected to each other than we think we are, than the physical, you know, science would explain.
You know, earlier you said, I know that sounds easy, and I was saying, no, it doesn't sound easy at all. And my mind also goes to the fact that you're a former research scientist at the University of Southern California, which is highly respected, and that's where you got your doctorate. And so you have a lot of fellowship within the different universities and different groups and projects, etc. So if you're bringing something that has been so far outside of the course of study and the discourse to all of these groups, how are people like saying, oh, thank you, we've been looking for this, we've needed this, where have you been all our lives?
Oh, no, I mean, I don't work at the university anymore. Anyway, I left a year ago, and but I think that what will happen, I was just talking about this on another podcast with a psychology professor at USC. Oh. And we're just saying, you know, it's kind of actually a human thing. It's not even unique to science, but when you're presented with something that you don't understand, that you've never thought about, that you don't believe in, usually what happens, actually, one of two things will happen. One is that it might actually just bounce off your brain. You won't even perceive it. You won't engage with it. This is a very common thing. People who are communication experts are really aware of this, because if you don't have a framework in your mind for it, it won't land. So most of the time, most people in academia haven't thought about this and they don't care. It'll just bounce off. It won't even register with them. For other people, I might see a strong emotional reaction against it because their livelihood and their worldviews are threatened, as mine was when I went through this. And I understand it well because it's exactly the reaction that I had. But before my transformation, whenever people would bring up anything woo-woo or spiritual or religious, I would react very arrogantly, very condescendingly, and very angrily, like it threatened me in some way. And, you know, during this transformation, I had to really look at that. Like, what is my problem? Like, it is just another idea. But when you're in it, it's not just an idea, it's a threat. and you react like you're being threatened. And so I get it. I get it. I do not expect everybody to hear it and be on board, because that's just not how humans work. And it's all that deep-seated conditioning that was referenced earlier in the show. It's a lot of things, right? It's like childhood trauma. It's conditioning from society. I mean, you can't just overcome that stuff in one night. And I wanted to overcome it, and it took me a long time. So,
well, I feel like there's an invitation here. Obviously, there's an invitation to get the book and read it and learn from Proof of Spiritual Phenomenon. There's an invitation potentially to work with you individually or be part of come hear you speak and all that. And also that you are inviting the audience and this new world of people that are looking for next level to embrace something or consider something. So how could you, when we come back, if you could net out like what that invitation is and where we could start, other than what I obviously mentioned, the book and working with you, like where we could start tonight at home through this show, through listening to you and what you might suggest when we come back. So we are having a powerful discussion with Dr. Mona Sabani. And when we come back, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. And then our performance guest, Aaron Pillman, is with us all on the Life Changes Show at Home edition when we come back right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
Well, this is episode 702 of The Life Changes Show, titled A Neuroscientist's Discovery, The Mysteries of the Universe. And we are speaking with cognitive neuroscientist, research scientist, and author of Proof of Spiritual Phenomenon, Dr. Mona Sabani. Dr. Mona, this has been a fascinating conversation. And you say some very strong things, not only in this broadcast, but also throughout the book and in other programs that I have heard and read about. One of the things, for example, I just pulled a quote that you said something to the effect of that you realize that the Western worldview, although it's touted as a superior worldview, it is still just a belief system. And once you accept that, the world of possibilities opens up. And those possibilities are what we've talked about. And
yeah, I remember writing that. That's what happened for me, because you think it's the truth and then suddenly realize actually no one really knows the truth. It's just a belief system. But for me, the way that I really experientially encountered that in my journey was through some of the altered states of consciousness, like meditation and breath work and psychedelics and whatnot. Or just any kind of mystical or esoteric experience. And in the book, and I do it with every interview too, I invite scientists or anybody to get personally acquainted and to actually seek out those experiences, because I think that they, not only are they very healing personally, but they can put you in direct contact with the transpersonal or paranormal and the spiritual aspects of the universe. And once you've had those meaningful and powerful experiences yourself, it just becomes easier to open to those possibilities. Right. And it's what we talked about earlier. I was looking for scientific proof to begin with, but along the way I had experiential proof to add. And those are very powerful and meaningful. And when you have those and they feel so, honestly, there's a experiential or emotional component to it that it shouldn't be discounted. Yeah. Even though in science, there's a lot of emphasis on scientific evidence, I think we're humans. And at the end of the day, I think that emotional component is really emotional and meaningful component is very important to seek out.
So there's also the word you use, materialistic, like you came from a materialistic background and now you've come out of that. Now, I think you mean that differently than we normally think of materialistic, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a philosophy, and it's dubbed the scientific materialism, and yeah, it's the belief of you know that everything is material, matter, physical, that can be reduced to parts, and that's our scientific worldview. That's kind of the paradigm that we run on, that everything is matter and can be measured and is physical in that way. But there's other worldviews and other philosophies, and it's, you know, up for debate. I mean, any philosophical article, you can see all the different, you know, there's idealism, panpsychism, there's all these different philosophies that don't rely solely on matter. Some of them view consciousness as fundamental, not matter. You know, of course, consciousness is a vague concept, but the point is really that there are other worldviews, and while we have been focused on matter because we can measure matter, just because we aren't able to measure some of the other things, it doesn't mean they don't exist.
So when you say that you wrote the book also for people who are going through psycho-spiritual crisis as crises as you went through, in a sense, the world seems to be going through a psycho-spiritual crisis, in which case this is the book and conversation whose time has come.
Oh dear. I've heard, that's weird that psychology professor mentioned that to me too. Like society.
I did not hear this interview, just so you know.
He hasn't posted it yet. So you have.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But there you go. It does feel like, yeah, it's society's going through its own initiation process, right? Tearing down beliefs. We're lost in confusion. Things we thought were true before, you know, are up for debate, and it's a very confusing time. So it does feel like that. And that's what that is exactly what it felt like. My personal transformation felt like, and yeah, there's an entire literature on it that I found from, Stan Grof has amazing books covering this. He's a psychiatrist from the 70s who's been working on this for years. So I agree with you.
Very nice. Well, obviously there's an invitation to learn more about Mona, and I'm going to spell her last name, and it's in her website, URL, Mona Sobhani, PhD, and Mona, M-O-N-A, S-O-B, as in boy, H as in Harry, A-N-I, and then PhD as in her degree. So MonaSobhaniPhD.com. The book is Proof of Spiritual Phenomena. That sounded like phenomena. Never mind. Neuroscientist's discovery of the ineffable mystery, Mona, of the ineffable mystery.
Really long title. You are, yeah. I don't blame you.
Of the ineffable mysteries of the universe. So what is an invitation that you can share with us that we can consider tonight as well?
For like to do tonight, actually?
Yeah.
gosh, I don't know. a breathwork practice or a meditation, or I don't know, actively seek out a different philosophy or something that you would never read. My personal mantra now is just like, stay radically curious, because I thought it, I knew it all before. And so now I want to move forward assuming I know nothing. So I just try to think of it like, you know, I had an Excel sheet that I had locked. That was my worldview, no updates. And, you know, I've unlocked it and I just want to keep updating it. So I do tell people, I mean, I read things I never thought I would read and I judged myself for it. You know, I'm like, oh, I can't believe I'm the person who reads this stuff now. But I love that now. Now I'd like to seek out books or articles that I would never read just to see what else is out there. Because if you, you know, we all live in our bubbles with these algorithms catering our universes to just see what we want to see, but there's a lot more out there. And I think we should all be more open to that.
Well, thank you, Mona. Thank you for knowing what you know, sharing what you know, and being honest that you, there's so much that you don't know, and for inviting us to stay radically curious as you obviously are. So what a pleasure getting to know you. You're in Los Angeles, so I get the feeling like we're going to get to meet at some point and know certain things and not know certain things together.
I love it.
And maybe I'll have to meet the psychologist guy.
that would be good too.
That'd be fun. All right, so thank you so much again. The book Proof of Spiritual Phenomena, and it's monasabanphd.com, and find more of her information at lifechangesshow.com. What a pleasure. Bye-bye. Thank you, Mona. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Mavis, and I am overwhelmed by all of the fear I am seeing shared on social media and in the news. How can one remain calm in the midst of all the horrible things going on and all of the horror being predicted? I want to know your secret, because when I talk to you, you are always upbeat and have something positive to say, and I would love to know how you do this.
Thank you, Mavis, for this really important question. I consciously choose to enjoy each day and look for the good in the world. I start my day with a positive prayer of gratitude, thanking the universe for showing me the most important things I need to see and for hearing the most important things I need to hear. I am often shown not only the good, but also the negative. And when I'm shown these kinds of things, I thank the universe for divine intervention, and I encourage my wonderful family and friends to join me in positive prayer that assists us in moving through the challenges that appear in our lives. I also choose each day to believe that something wonderful is always about to happen. I surround myself with positive quotes and encourage my family and friends to gently nudge me in a more positive direction if I appear to be focusing on the negative. I also play uplifting and inspiring music and videos to reflect the good in our world. So please join me in remembering that as the divine children of God that we are the ones manifesting our reality, and that the more we focus on the good, the more good we can co-create. Happiness is a choice, and one that I lovingly make as often as possible, and I ask that you start choosing happiness and joy each day and begin to enjoy this thing called life.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And with that, we'll be right back with our performance guest, Erin Pillman, on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars, guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention.
It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorotheyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a talk, music, and variety show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, business leaders, and children, we are here to inspire our audience to do life better. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show. As your life changes, we're here for you. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're here for you indeed. This is Filippo Voltaggio, and we have our performance guest, who is a songstress, a recording artist, a vocal improvisationalist. Welcome, Erin Pillman, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great for having you here. It's our pleasure, and what a special show to have you here for.
Totally. What a fantastic interview. Thank you so much for having her on. Wow.
Well, we feel the same way. And are you not studying this field from a different perspective, actually?
I am, from a very personal perspective. I've been dealing with a bunch of different symptoms like chronic pain and chronic fatigue and some other things for many years. And after going to so many doctors and other types of healers, it turns out that most of my symptoms, actually all of them, fall under the umbrella of limbic system impairment. And there's a way to use neuroplasticity to basically use your thoughts to rewire your brain and heal yourself. So It's very empowering, and I'm really excited to be embarking on this part of my journey.
Mm-hmm. And this all, and more power to you for all of that. And this all translates into your music, obviously.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. So one of the things that I like to do with my music is I obviously love positivity. And I also think it's important sometimes to sort of speak to the fact that life can be really hard and that there is darkness, but then to bring that into a place of encouragement and upliftment in my music and my lyrics.
So you have referred to your music as devotional music and positive brainwashing music?
Positive brainwashing. And it's so funny because I've been saying that for so many years. I mean, I'm so careful with the content that I ingest and the music that I ingest.
Nice.
I just know it really affects me. And so I've always wanted to make sure that everything that I produce and create through my art is definitely going to be uplifting for people.
Nice. Well, let's be uplifted. You just said that, and it just reminded me of something that our guest, she ends her bio, I think it is, with, "Let's re-enchant the world."
Ooh.
So that's Mona Sabani. So you're not going to brainwash us. How do we say it? Let's.
I'm going to enchant you with my music.
Okay. With my ukulele,
which I got when I lived on Maui. And here it is with me in Los Angeles.
Let's be enchanted.
Yeah, now let's enchant.
This first piece is so cool.
Learning about neuroplasticity, it's like we literally can change our brains physiologically with our thoughts. Like, It is pretty mind-blowing.
And music can be a big, big part of that. Obviously, words as well. So this is your life. That's a loaded title.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess so. It's pretty, it's quite an undertaking, I guess. But I think you'll enjoy the song. It's actually the first track on my second album. My second album is called It Is Given. And this is the very first track, so I guess maybe that's why I'm starting out with it.
Well, cool. Well, here's Erin Pillman going to be performing live online on the Life Changes Show with her song, This Is Your Life.
Fantastic. There's a lot to be said about this moment that we're in right now. There's a lot to be said about this eternal now. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life. There's a lot to be said about just being in this moment right now. There's a lot to be said about this eternal now. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life. This is your life, this is your life. This one moment is your life. There's a lot of joy in this moment right now. There's a whole lot of joy in this eternal now. Your life, this joy is your life. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life. There's a lot to be learned from this moment right now. There's a lot to be learned from this eternal now. Your life, this one moment is your life. This is your life, this is your life, this is your life. This one moment. Are you listening to these words that I'm singing? Are you feeling it? Are you feeling this now? Are you listening to these words that I'm singing? Are you feeling this now deeply? Are you feeling this now that you're living? Are you feeling this eternal now? This now is your life. It's your life. This one moment is your life. This one moment that's been given to you is your life. This is your life. This is your life. Your beautiful life. This is your life. Your life. This is your life.
Thank you, Erin Pillman. This is your life. Wow, it's a mantra. It's a wake-up call. and I had a reflection that if this moment is my life, I have a really good life.
Yes, you do.
I'm loving this moment with you. Was loving it with Mona and this show. And if we could say that in these moments, so thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you so much for allowing me to be here and share my music.
It's very, very special. And you know, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your— I loved how when you and I were speaking, that as you are feeling into the deeper layers of reality, right, that you, as somebody is having a reality, as we heard just the sirens go by, there are different layers of reality, and as you go into them, you feel into them, you're learning about them. What is it that you are coming up with?
Well, I think I've thought about this from so many different angles through the years, and you know, I think we talk a lot about God, and recently I just had this really deep frustration, like, we're talking about God, but like, we don't even have a working definition for what we're even addressing. Mm. And it's obviously like, whatever God is, it has to be greater than our ability to comprehend it with our cognitive, you know, fairly limited cognitive human abilities. And so I don't know what it is that this divine intelligence, this source, this creator, but what I do know is that when I go through my experience of life, there are just so many things that cannot be explained away, like with science, you know, like she was saying, with Mona was saying, just with science, there's something else going on here. And I don't think any of us really quite can explain what it is, because it's obviously just way too massive. But especially when something happens that I call it like a God incidence. That's what I call my love language with God, is like those little breadcrumbs, those things that happen that you're like, there's no way this is a coincidence, even though we have this bias toward looking for patterns, as Mona was saying, there's just other things that cannot be explained. And so that's what I feel devoted to, is whatever this divine intelligence is. And also, I feel very devoted to upliftment of humanity, so that everyone on the planet has clean water and food and all of their basic needs met, so that they can flourish.
That's beautiful, Erin. Thank you for sharing that. I want to let everybody know that you can find Erin all over, actually, the internet, on different social pages as Erin Pillman. And she also has a website, erinpillman.com, and that's E-R-I-N, and Pillman, P-I-L-L-M-A-N.com. And we're going to get to hear another song. This song is You'll Find Your Way. Does that need an explanation?
I don't think so. It's just a blessing, a benediction. It's the last track on It Is Given, my second album. And so I will send you off with this benediction, this enchanting benediction.
Thank enchanting benediction. Here's Erin Pillman performing live online on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. An enchanting benediction.
I've never said
You'll
that phrase before.
Find your way.
Along the way.
but I promise you, darling, you'll find your way. And I know, yes, I know, there's been some pain. And I know, yes, I know, the suffering. But I promise you, I really do, you'll find your way. And I promise you, darling, you'll find your way. And I promise you, darling, you'll find your way.
Thank you, Aaron. Aaron Pillman.
Thank you so much. And yeah, like Filippo said, I'm everywhere online, any streaming service, YouTube, I'm everywhere. So just type in my name and you will find my music.
And that name is Aaron Pillman. And how great to have that confirmation or rather acknowledgement too. Like, this has been such a long road for so many of us, as we've discussed on this show many times. So thank you for sharing that for those of us who needed to hear that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you so much again for having me on.
And so much of Aaron's music is like that. So yes, if you're interested, find Aaron Pillman all over on the internet. What a pleasure. Aaron Pillman, once again, thank you so much. And Dr. Mona Sabani, what a pleasure. And that is our show tonight. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.